Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier. It's my pleasure to be with you for the next 3 hours. We've got quite a bit going on in the 3 hours, as we normally do, between 2 and 3. We've got the Wandon Club of Rotary coming in to talking about their car shows. Now, I know I talk about car shows a bit, because I do love old cars, but the reason that we've got them coming in, of course, that all raises money for the Royal Children's Hospital Good Friday Appeal, so we like to support that. And of course, the one that we had Glenn in talking about last week was also their supporting fundraising for MND, which is Neil Danaher's charity. And then between 1 and 2, we've got Cindy McLeish coming in to tell us what she's been up to. Nothing political, but what she's been doing around the place. And then, but now it's my pleasure to interview somebody. And before I start, we're not here during this hour to try and frighten people, because we are going to be talking about bushfire period coming up. Now, my view is you better be prepared with a plan and have your house as safe as you possibly can and not need it, rather than to do nothing about it and then wish you had. So it's my pleasure to interview Dave from the Hillsville CFA. So first of all, welcome, Dave.
Good morning or good afternoon, Alan. How are we?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, as you heard, I just think that I've been really looking forward to doing this interview. We've had a little bit of a problem getting here, but we're here today. As I say, I don't want to frighten people, but there is a bushfire period. Well, there's a potential bushfire period coming up. And the main thing is I just want to see people do the best they can, prepare their homes, have their plan, and that's what we want to talk about. But first of all, Dave, there's something I want to say, and I've talked to Cindy McLeish a number of times over the CFA. I think you blokes do a fantastic job. And we need to remember that you've all got jobs and you get dragged out of bed 1, 2, 3 in the morning to go to accidents and fires and all that sort. But you've still got to get up the next day and go to work. And at times, some of you guys use up your holidays just out and about. So on behalf of the community, I want to say thank you to the CFA, and I do that a number of times, and Cindy McLeish will back me up on that. I'm always saying that. So how long have you been in the CFA yourself, Dave?
Myself, I've been in the CFA now for 17 years. I originally was in Montrose, but now I've moved to Hillsville. I've been in Hillsville now for 15 years, so I've got a few years to become a local.
Dave, just let me ask you, What made you, Dave, decide that I'd like to be part of the CFA?
Well, I grew up in Traralgon, country Victoria, on a dairy farm.
Yep.
And my dad was part of the CFA, so I guess that exposure to the CFA when I was younger gave me a bit of an insight and, you know, a bit of passion for what he does and what the community can get out of the CFA and what we can do.
How do you cope with the fact that you get dragged out of bed into all sorts of the hours, and then next morning you've got to get up and go to work?
It's a bit tough. I admittedly don't go to many of the nighttime calls.
Don't you?
I'm a very good sleeper. I need my beauty sleep. So, I attend as often as I can. As you were saying previously, I find it hard to make time with personal life, work, etc. So, yeah, we are volunteers. We do have a normal life. We're just trying to fit the CFA into our schedule as best we can.
Yeah, because I don't want to talk too much about the CFA, because we want to get onto the program that we want to talk about. But you say you slip it into your life as much as you can. A lot of us do other things, but we know when they're going to occur, and so we can build our life around them. CFA doesn't know until the pager goes off, do you?
No, that's very true. That's very true indeed. And we've got a lot of long-standing members who have put in, you know, decades of service to the CFA, and, you know, we all respected the time that these people have put in, and we all sort of aim to be as good as these people were and are.
Yeah, and no matter what you do, it's better than not doing anything.
That's correct. So our membership is very broad. At the moment, we've had a really good recruitment run. We have people who attend 5 fires a year. We have people who attend 200 fires a year.
Yep.
So We really try and make a niche for everybody, and to try and make as many people welcome to our membership as possible.
David, what would be the worst, either fire or, because you attend road accidents as well too, don't you?
That's correct. Yes, we attend road accidents.
What would be the worst one, and how do you? And I'm asking that reason because how do you then cope with that worst one?
Personally, I think you really need to be cut of the cloth, as the saying is, to undergo these things. Like, for instance, I cannot stand blood and gore. Yep. I could not be a nurse or a doctor or something like that.
Yep.
But when it comes to fighting fires and to going to car accidents and helping people in that terms, I don't see it much of a problem at all. I just go in, I get the job done, try and help people, try to do my best, and take it from there.
But you did say that you can't stand blood and guts. But obviously when you get called to some of these accidents, you would.
Yeah, you do, you do. And I guess it's the adrenaline that kicks in, Alan. You're just in there and you're doing the job and, you know, admittedly, I don't want to go into that front line of seeing something like that. And if I can, then I'll speak to the incident controller and say, look, you know, can I take a step back or something?
Yep.
But, you know, if required to, then you jump in there, you get the job done, you help the person. And, yeah, it's really good for helping people.
No worries. Dave, I've got to take a quick break. We want to know a little bit about you. Now, I've got to take a quick break and we're going to come back. So please get your paper and pencils ready because David is going to give you some really good tips on first of all, what you should be doing to try and make your house safe as you can, and secondly, then what you should put in a fire plan. So we'll be back very shortly.
Mustard and stock. We've been culling out roofs. We've been spraying the crops. We've been droving cattle up an old stock route. Now it's Saturday night. We pile in the ute. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. Well, the dog's in the back and the foot goes down. Members of the Outback Club. Well, the boys from the bush come in from the scrub. We've been out in the heat. We've been loading the trucks. We've been fixing fences. We've been choking on dust. We curse the rain. We curse the drought. Now it's Saturday night. Shout. We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town. We get high when the sun goes down. We're live members of the Outback Club. We're the boys from the bush coming from the scrub.
From the Hillsville CFA. David, well, the first thing I want to talk about is getting your house ready. Now, I know you're going to say it's different everywhere because some have got trees around them, some are out in the places by themselves. But what's the worst mistake that you have seen where the people have that have created their own problem?
It's about keeping your property safe, and it's about keeping any fuel, and I'm not talking about petrol fuel, I'm talking about combustible fuel.
Yeah, so talking about firewood.
Talking about firewood that's left out the front door or by the side of the, you know, leaning up against the house, you know, bits of timber stacked up against the house.
Now, with trees, I know there was a controversy a while ago, but you're allowed to clear a trees from around your house, aren't you?
That's correct. So you have a 10-metre radius around your property, your house. Yep. So anything within 10 metres of your house, you have full control over what you can do there.
Yep. So I guess one of the two things that I've ever seen, I'm going to ask you about them, is A, that people leave trees too close to the house and they're hanging over the roof. So when the leaves dry off and that, you've got a real problem. And secondly, is that people should be clearing at their gutters now, shouldn't they?
That's correct, Alan, yes. So the problem with the tree overhanging a house is not only the leaves falling down, but when there is a bushfire, the chances of that tree being impacted structurally are very high. So you could imagine if you've got a branch hanging over a house, that structural integrity of that branch gets weakened by the fire, then the branch comes down, next thing you know you've got an open roof and you've got a bushfire situation, and from there you're at the mercy of the gods.
Dave, there's one thing that I think we should mention too, and again, you're the expert, not me. People often say, oh, yeah, but the fireys will help me out in the fire. On the day of a bushfire, no matter how many fireys you got out and how many trucks, you can't have them in every street out the front of every house, can you?
No, that's very true. That's very true, Alan. In our brigade, we have two tankers, which can, you know, there's only two trucks in Healesville. Yep. We have two tankers out in Badger Creek as well.
Yep.
So you have a look at how big the area is, and on a, you know, on a very catastrophic day where we've got a lot of people in need, then we can't be everywhere. So it really is up to the homeowners to get their property up to scratch, like I said, to remove as much debris, leaves, sticks, all that kind of business away from your house. You know, if you need to, then you can contact the CFA or relatives or have a working bee. You know, if you live out in a rural area and you get along with your neighbours, have a working bee. Say, look, this weekend, let's go and do this. Let's get, you know, a bit more organised. Let's make sure our fire pumps are running. Yep. Make sure we've got enough water in our dams to protect our premises.
You help me this week and I'll help you next
week. Exactly, and that's part of the community, because like you said, you know, we can't go out to each and every property and to make sure everything's up and running. There is programs that you can get onto. If you go onto the CFA website, we can do a property assessment valuation, go out to your property.
Can you?
So it's called a PAV. We go out to your property, we assess your property, we can give you hints and tips as to what you should do to make your property safer. That is regarding fuel levels outside the house, you know, what sort of structure you have.
And the other thing is too, when you said you're not actually talking about gasoline, but a lot of sheds do have petrol in them for their motor mowers. And the other thing that, as I move around the Yarra Valley, you see some old cars that have been sitting in paddocks and all that, or close to the house for years. Now, some of them, those will have petrol in them. And, like, if you don't get rid of some of that stuff, like, they're just going to explode, aren't they?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And we always come back to saying the responsibility is on the homeowner, the property owner, to make sure your place is fire safe as possible. We don't want to ring alarm bells and get everyone panicking. We just want people to be safe. And if you can make your house safer, then, you know, that's something you should be doing.
Yeah, and it's a bit late when you see the fire 2 kilometres down the road to all of a sudden start wanting to clear up, isn't it?
Well, very much so. And even, you know, being complacent at this time of the year, have a look at where we are. We're 1 week out from summer.
Yep.
You know, it's fair enough. It's pouring rain. It's miserable outside. But if you go out to the forest areas, the forests are very dry. The floors of the forests are very dry. The wetlands haven't started yet across the bridges coming into Healesville.
Yep.
So that's just an indication of how short on rainfall we are. You know, the grasslands have got a bit of moisture, they're a bit wet, but they're not soaking. So sooner or later, you know, it'll only take a couple of weeks of warm weather and then we'll be right into the fire season.
I was just going to say that to you. You're looking out there today and you think, why the devil are they talking about fires today? Like, 2 or 3 days of, particularly if you get a hot, dry north wind, it'll soon dry it all out.
That's very true. And there is areas in the Mallee which are now calling total fire bans. It'll only be a matter of time, Alan, until we are in the same area. So we're urging people to do these things. I cleaned my gutters out 2 weeks ago. Yep. We're just urging people to take the opportunity now before Christmas starts, because I know it's a very busy period of the year for these people. So, you know, you're going away for your holidays, you're doing other things. Use this time now to make your home as safe as you can. And then when you're away, you've got a little bit of peace of mind.
No worries. I've got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. Talking to Dave, and Dave's with the Hillsville CFA. Dave, all right, so people have got their houses cleaned up, we hope, or if not, we've given the urge to go out and get rid of some of the fuel. People should be making plans. What sort of things should they be putting in their fire plans?
So in your fire plan, Alan, it's important to visit the CFA website. Now, that will give you a complete plan of what you need to do inside your house and also outside your house. The main thing with a plan is to what we call trigger points into leaving. That's the message that the CFA is pushing, because if you're not leaving early, then you're inviting danger. A lot of the fatalities that happen are from people leaving too late.
Dave, one of the things that, and I talked about this last year to the audience, everybody thinks that when they're ready to go, they can just jump on the highway, travel to 80 k's down the road and get out. But and we're particularly talking in the Dandenongs now, there aren't that many roads to get out. The fire brigade are trying to get up there. The police are trying to get up there. And they're going to take priority. So you can't just all of a sudden at the last minute jump in the car and think, oh, beauty. And then apart from the smoke, that you might be able to see where you're going.
Yeah, goodness, though, that's exactly true. Not only that, you've got fallen limbs. You're going to have ember attack coming through. So you're not going to be doing 80 Ks. Yep. You're going to be doing 40 kilometres an hour. So our main message from the CFA is to leave early. Have your plan. Get your premises as best protected you can exterior-wise.
Yep.
Pull your shutters down. Make sure that you've got your pets with you because they're a prime concern nowadays.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to leave your dog or your cat or your birds or whatever. Make sure if you're on a rural property that your horses or your cattle have the best opportunity. Make sure all your gates are open in your property. I'm not saying let your gates out onto the road.
Because they can cause trouble for the CFA and everyone,
that's
too.
That's the other thing, too. That's another thing. You can't just up and go and expect to be doing the same sort of traffic movement you'd be doing on your Monday morning or whatever.
Yep.
You need to leave early, have a plan, have your triggers, make sure you're well prepared the night before or the day before. It's important to be prepared before it happens, because if you start preparing things for your house while you're getting an ember attack, the chances are it's too late.
Yep. You're not going to make great decisions under those situations, are you?
No, you're not at all. So have a look at the CFA website. Get all the information you can from them. On the night before, have a look at the news. See what the fire danger rating is.
Yep.
Know your local area. Be prepared. Get your car packed the night before. Make sure when you've got kids and family and all those things, older relatives, make sure they're accommodated for. That's the other thing too. If you've got elderly parents who live in an area which you think may be submitted to, you know, these fire conditions, make sure they're okay.
Get them out.
Get them out. Say, look, Mum, Dad, we're in Moorabbin. Can you come down to our place? Stay the overnight. We want to look after you.
Yeah. The other thing too, that and someone brought this to my attention, I think, last year or the year before when I was talking to someone, people need not only, like, everyone grabs their credit cards and all that, but you also need some sort of identification, because you may very well be available to get some government assistance, but it's not much good if you can't prove who you are either.
That's very true, and you mentioned credit card. There's one thing that will happen if there is a catastrophic situation is that we'll have no electricity. So
good point.
It is very important to have cash in your fire plan, because you may leave, you might need to go to the service station to get more fuel.
Yep.
Service stations have their own generators. If they have no internet, how are you going to pay for your fuel?
Yeah,
you
know, true. Good point.
So it's a good idea, and that'll all be on the CFA website, to have things that you need in your fire safe plan as a checklist to take with you.
Dave, let me ask you again a bit. We talked about the biggest mistake on that. What's the biggest mistake that people make with their fire plans, do you think?
I think it's, like I said, it's about not having the information to leave early enough.
Yep.
Thinking that, I'm okay, you know, the fire's 15 kilometres away.
Yep.
And you get the wind coming through, and the next thing you know,
let me ask you, if the fire's 15, 20 k's away, how fast? Well, two things. How fast can the fire travel with the wind behind it? But secondly, how far in front of the fire? Because everybody thinks the fire front is where the fire is, but it can spark a lot further on too, can't it?
That's true. And people who are out in Chum Creek will know from the ember attacks that happened on Black Saturday just how close the fire came and how far in front of the fire front that these ember attacks happened.
How far are we talking, Dave?
So on that day, it was 7 kilometres.
7 kilometres?
7 kilometres the ember attack was coming through. So Hillsville's main street was being shrouded in embers on that Black Saturday. And if you go out along, you know, some of the Chum Creek areas along Hodges Road, etc., you'll see the trees that are charred. And Hillsville was exceptionally lucky for the wind change.
Jeez.
So
And so, you, pardon me, you could easily be 7 kilometres in front of the fire, and if you haven't bothered with your clearing out your spouting and that, you could be in a fire yourself.
Well, yeah, it's too late. It's absolutely too late then, Alan, and it's no good doing it the night before as well because, you know, you're up on a ladder, it's going to be, you know, a hot night, you think. You've got a million things running through your head.
And you're throwing all the debris down on the ground.
We're throwing all the debris down on the ground and then you're just making it easier. So, you know, there is things like, and you need to think long term about things like bark around your house, you know.
Yep.
This time of the year, you want to be pulling the bark out, and if you can, put down stones because we all know that bark is really good because, you know, it looks good. It yep. sort of works as a mulch. But then again, you know, when it's 40 degrees, that turns into fire fuel yep. and it ignites, and a lot of these things around your house is what helps the fire from getting into your structure.
Getting into it. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to go back with more. Please, I hope you take notice of this. If you live in a fire-prone area or you've got friends and they, you know, they can't listen today, there will be a podcast of this interview going up at the end of the week or first thing next week on our website. Please get them to download and have a look at it because Dave's giving you some really good advice here.
Tin roof, baby, just me and you, rocking with the rhythm of the rain. Slide on over, baby, hold me closer, moving to and fro, swaying like a slow freight train, rocking with the rhythm of the rain. So let the tin roof, baby, just me and you, rocking with the rhythm of the rain. Slide on over, baby, hold me closer, moving to and fro, swaying like a slow freight train, rocking with the rhythm of the rain.
Talking to Dave down from the Hillsville CFA. And, of course, if you're interested in joining the CFA, I'm sure Dave and his mates would love to have you along and talk to you and get you trained up and get part of it. David, there's a couple of things I also wanted to mention to you. You're the prevention officer, I believe, down there, or something to do with prevention. And so I guess I've lost for words here a bit how to get it, but you'd really rather see people get on your website and prevent what they can to save their homes, couldn't you, rather than leave it at the last minute?
Yeah, that's true, Alan. I'm the fire safety community officer in Healesville, and the old saying of prevention is better than cure is where we're coming from. It's not really known, but the CFA, we just don't go out and put out fires. Our aim is to stop fires from happening.
And that's, or minimise them too.
Or to minimise them. You know, there was a house fire in Healesville last week where the occupants did the right thing. They remained calm. They called 000. They had a fire in the bedroom from an electric blanket or an alarm clock, and they shut the door and they isolated that. So it's about minimising the loss from fire and minimising the damage done by those fires.
Yep.
And also we attend car accidents, and there's numerous other things we do.
Yep.
We help other authorities gain access to premises.
Yep.
We go to fire calls. We go to bushfires. We go to domestic fires. We go to any alarm that goes off through these large schools. We attend those. We make sure that their fire equipment's operating.
I'm glad you mentioned schools, because you also go around the schools and educate the young people. And also, I believe you're going to be at the market.
Yes, that's correct, Alan. Like, the change of each season, we're normally down at the Healesville Market on Sunday.
Yep.
Just to touch base with the public.
When's your next one?
Which is the next one is coming up this, not this week, Sunday, but the one after. I think it's the 6th or the 7th.
About that. Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, we're down there. You know, the kids can jump on the truck. Well, we talk to mum and dad about getting their premises up to scratch. We'll give them as much information as possible. We'll point them in the right direction. And if possible, you know, we'll try and get those people in a safer position.
Now, you also do something with the school children, too.
Yeah, that's correct. So we also go into schools when we're invited, and we teach kids about, you know, basic fire safety. And it's about those kids going home and touching base with mum and dad and making sure everybody's on the same page, you know. I think you can't hear too much about fire safety and getting your plan up and running and making sure that you're as safe as possible, because if there is a situation where it's needed, then, you know, you're best equipped for it. And that's what we want to do at the CFA. We want people to be equipped as well as possible in their home, on their property, or in their community, so that, you know, if there is a problem, if there is a catastrophe, if there is a fire, then they've got the best possible chance at defending it or limiting the damage caused.
Now, having said that, I want to run this past you, because people will say, if there's a fire, the fireys turn up with their truck and they put it out. Now, if you're out on a property, how many litres of water does the truck hold?
So out on a property, Alan, outside the reticulated area where we've got hydrants and all those wonderful things, so out on a property, if you're out there on tank water, then our vehicle will get out there, and we've got about 3 to 5 minutes of water.
That's all on the
That's
on the
all
big
that
trucks.
We've got. It depends on how much water we're shooting out there, but, you know, we're not going to be operating for a vast amount of time.
That's the point I want to get across. Like, you can't fight that fire for half an hour, can you? Because the
goodness
truck just hasn't got it.
No, the trucks aren't equipped with such big tanks. So, we've got limited resources. That's where we need to rely upon the premises to have some sort of a water supply for us. Also, too, it's important to note, Alan, we're carrying a truck in which has got 11 tonnes. So to get to your premises, we've got to put 11 tonnes across a bridge. So if you live on a rural area that has a bridge or, you know, has a bit of trouble getting your car up and down into it, then you've got to think, how is an 11-ton fire truck going to get up here?
Well, and some people I've seen where they have these little, at the front of their properties, they have these little wooden little bridges over something. Now, some of those take a car, but they're not going to take an 11-ton truck, are they?
That's very true, and that's where our property service would come and help, Alan. We'll go in there.
Oh, will they?
We'll have a look.
Yep.
So if you hit us up on our Facebook page, at the Healesville CFA Facebook page, we can organise a property visit, and then we'll go in and we'll ask, you know, can you guarantee that an 11-ton truck will get across this bridge, or can we get an 11-ton truck up this hill?
The other thing is, too, I guess if you've got a whole lot of trees hanging over the drive, because some of these houses, as you get in the rural bit, have got a lot of trees, you don't want to be scraping all your lights off the top and all that.
No, that's true. And that's where we're going to go and make sure you... And it's the onus is up on you, on the homeowner and the property owner, for you to maintain your property to make sure that we can get to you.
Yep.
Because if there is a problem... It's too late to start running around and trying to ready things.
Yep.
Cutting down trees, you know, or will they, won't they be able to come in? Oh, they can come in through my neighbour's paddock and go through this way. But that might take an extra 10 or 15 minutes, and that's vital, that time.
Yeah, minutes count. David, you were talking about when you go out to look at these places and, you know, to check them up for prevention. Is there any cost to the homeowner?
No, Alan, that's a total free service. So in these days where everything costs money, it's
good to see.
It's really important. And this will give you tips and advice. So yeah, we'll take time out of our day. We'll have professionals come out who are trained to have a look at your property individually and to go through things that you can make your property safer.
Sounds great. I've got to take one more break. Now, please get your paper and pencil ready, because when Dave comes back, he's going to give you their website and contact details. So we'll have that for you as soon as we come back.
I'm a country boy and I sure do like this dog. Born, I sure do like this dog. Well, I'm no fool and I don't plan to be dogged around. I want all you women to come and gather around. Want all you women to come and gather around.
Now, David, you wanted to also mention before we went, we've talked a lot about keeping your home safe as far as fires, get rid of the fuel, and we're not talking petrol there necessarily, which although people do, pardon me, have a lot of fuel in sheds and that for their tractors and all sorts of things. But you also want to talk about home safety itself.
Yeah, that's right, Alan. Like I just mentioned, not long ago there was a house fire in Healesville which was caused by an electric problem, either a faulty alarm clock or an electric blanket or something like that. So it's important to make sure that all your appliances, you know, if you see a frayed cord or something like that, you know, the jug sometimes doesn't work, is to just get rid of these appliances. You know, they're cheap enough and you don't want to have a problem, you know, with an appliance and for that to spark an electrical problem, which will spark a fire in your house. Because I've been to house fires and it's devastating to see people lose everything they have. You couldn't imagine losing your home. And
well, it's bad enough to lose a home, but we've all got photos of grandkids. We've all got photos of our own kids. You can't replicate those.
No, that's true. And when it comes to, like, appliances and things like that, your gas heaters, you know, your barbecues, that's the thing, is we're getting into the warmer weather. Guys, get out there. Make sure your barbecue's operating properly. Use soapy water on all your connections to make sure that there's no gas escaping, so you don't have any gas leaking out near your barbecue causing a fire.
Yep, and they can explode on you too, can't they?
They can indeed. And, you know, you're having things like half-full gas canisters lying around your house. Yep. It's just you're asking for trouble. So maintain your house, keep it tidy, keep it neat, and keep everything stored safely.
And get hold of the CFA and get them to come out and do an assessment on your house.
Yeah, that's correct, Alan. Yeah. So
how are you going to do that, Dave?
So what you can do is you can go on to all the W's, www.cfa.vic.gov.au, and that'll take you to the CFA homepage. And from there, there's lots of literature that can be available. So you just type in there, it'll have a search bar, so you can type in for property assessment visit. So you put that in and then you can, from there, someone will contact you from the CFA, you leave your details. But there's all kinds of information through the CFA site, which is helpful for you to prevent fires and to make your place as safe as possible.
And I guess the takeout, well, I know I'm a bit of a chicken, so if I saw fire or smelt smoke, I'd be gone at the first. I wouldn't be hanging around when it was coming over
fair
down
enough.
The road.
Yep.
And I guess, look, I know I made a bit of a laugh at that, but it's something that I'm really serious about. People seem to think that they can go at the last minute because they'll be able to shoot down the road at 80-100 k's an hour and get out. But that's not always possible. As you mentioned fallen trees and that, but even without that, you're trying to get the safety, you're trying to get you guys in, the police, the ambulance, everybody, and they're going to take precedence over us getting out.
Yep, that's very true. And you've got wildlife, you know, if you live out in a rural area, you've got kangaroos all over the place.
Yes.
Who are trying to get away from the fire. So, yeah, I can't sort of emphasise it enough, Alan, and listeners, you really want to make sure that you leave early. That's our message. Yep. Leave early, prepare your premises, get your plan into order, leave early. That's going to give yourself the best opportunity to leave, because a lot of fatalities occur on the roads.
And like, it would be devastating you'd lose your house, but it'd be a downside worse to lose your life.
Well, that's true. Lose your life, lose your vehicle, you know, lose a loved one.
Yep.
It's really devastating. So we want to help the community and help people in giving them the best opportunity as they can to sort of minimise the damage caused by these occurrences.
And again, we hope none of this happens. And the point of the interview today wasn't to try and frighten people. The whole point was to get people to get their plans ready, get the stuff away from the house, because we now know that you can clear, what you say, how far from the
10
house?
10 metres radius from your house.
For your house.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse to have trees right up against your house, particularly when they're old, and because, you know, you see quite a few of them are dead just there.
Yep.
Well, they're just fuel for a fire straight away.
That's true. And we're not saying to people, clear your house and make sure you got nothing near it within 10 metres.
Yep.
There are trees which are... There is native trees which will help prevent fire, will help stop the ember attack.
Yep.
But there's things like putting screening underneath your house to make sure the embers don't come through, clearing all the gutters.
Well, of course, if the embers got under the house, you might not see it until it started.
That's true. And,
I hadn't thought that.
A lot of people are the same. You know, you've got stuff, clutter underneath your house, the embers come in underneath, you've got leaves that blow underneath the house, you've got air condition, or you got all your heating that goes underneath the floor, and you know that's just the pathway for fire. So, yeah, it's about getting the best property. Your property is as best prepared as you can.
Now, Dave, you mentioned going to the 3wcfa.vic.gov.au and look up the property assessment. But do you also have a Facebook page?
Yeah, so we do. Hillsville Fire Brigade, we've got a Facebook page which has got a lot of followers. We give updates on there. So if you need to get any local information, then you can head along to our Facebook page, just DM us there, and we'll come back to you. And from there, you can book all kinds of facilities like, you know, kindergarten visits. You know, we go to fates, we do all sorts of things. We help Santa out at this time of the year. You know, we're not just about putting out fires. We're here, we're community-based, and we want to help the community have a good time, and we want to help the community be safe.
I've got a funny story about Santa. I was at some carols, this is a few years ago, and Santa turned up on the fire truck, you know, as they come up the road with his lights flashing, and he gets up on stage and he's doing his bit. He's having a great time and the kid's having a great time. And all of a sudden, the fireys that brought him went running, jumped in the truck, the lights and sirens went off down the road, and Santa's standing on the stage. So I don't know, we're going to get out of here.
Yeah, well, we do. We've got the special hotline with Santa. So he gives us a call and we try and get him out to see all the kids and the mums and dads and all that and do our business because, yeah, Santa needs to get around and his reindeers can't do it all himself. So, yeah, we help him get around on the truck, and sometimes we've got to leave Santa. Well, that's how it works.
Well, that's the way it goes. All right, look up the 3wcfa.vic.gov.au and certainly get a property assessment. If it's going to cost you nothing, and the other thing, I hope that you've taken two things out of today. First of all, get a fire plan and make part of that fire plan. Get out as early as you can, because I know that's what I'd be doing. But the other thing is to make the place as safe as you can, because as we said, they can't have a fire truck sitting down at the end of every street. So the responsibility is... Look, David, thank you for your time again today. We hope that we don't have to talk to you. We hope it's a very mild, or certainly we don't have any fires, bushfires. But unfortunately, there will be a few, you can guarantee.
Yeah,
that.
that's true, Alan. If it's not this year, then it could be next year. It could be the year after. We don't want to instill fear into anyone, but we'd much rather speak to people and see them at a, you know, at an afternoon or down at the market or something like that. We'd much rather do that than be 3 o'clock in the morning.
No worries. I've got to go. Thanks, Dave.